So Bhagavan Sri Krishna is talking to us at the absolute level. Paramartha Sannyasi, who is the highest renunciate. Sannyasi does not mean necessarily wearing orange clothes or going to the forest, but one who even while working in the world sees in action. Because all of us work at the body level with the objects, mind with the emotions, intellect with the thoughts. But the one who abides in the self, the consciousness, the Paramartha Sannyasi, the Om, even when he or she is working in the world, Indriyani Indriyartheshu Vartanta Iti Dharayan. He says, my sense organs are working with the sense objects, my mind is working my body, but I am the actionless self, the Om. And that is the state of the realized master. And in the last week, we also said that na kartritvam na karmani lokasya srijati prabhu na karma phala sayogam svabhavastu pravartate. The Lord, or one who abides in this truth, sees that the Lord does not get involved in the actions, but or in the results. It is us, the swabhava, the nature or the individual suffers the consequences or the joys. But the Lord, who is the one who is giving us this energy to work, is not involved in the karmas, and nor is he involved in the papa or punya. All of that is of the individual. You and I, when we work in the world, good or bad actions, we suffer the consequences. The Lord says, I do not take part in that. I do not even create, I do not even participate in the karma phala. I just created the law of karma. Now you have to choose how you want to live your life. And a person who understands this, then never returns. What it means is that all this problems of the world, the vasanas, the dirt, is not kshina kalmashaha, jnana kshina kalmashaha. All his sins are destroyed by knowledge. Once we have the right knowledge and we abide in that knowledge, then no ignorance can affect us, no vasanas can affect us, no karma. So a realized master goes beyond karmas. Neither good nor bad karmas. Does not mean that he has the freedom. He to reach that state, you have to be a highly evolved individual. And so no bad karmas can come, and even if there are some bad karmas in his previous life, once he has enlightened and become one with the truth, then he goes beyond all karmas. In fact, his subtle body gets, see, in your and our case, the gross body, our gross body merges with the five elements, air, space, fire, water, earth. When we leave this body, the body perishes, but my mind and intellect, the subtle body, does not perish. And until I have realized the truth, this mind and intellect will go to higher or lower worlds and then wait for another suitable body. So the linga sharir, or the subtle body in your and my case, continues to live on and on and on, birth after birth after birth, until we finally realize the truth. But for a realized soul, even his linga sharir, even his subtle body merges, gets destroyed. So then this person has no more birth. His gross body merges with the five elements, and the subtle body, which is also inert, merges with the total mind and the total intellect. Of course, he has no vasanas because he is the Lord himself. So that is the glory of this realized master, who will continue to vyavahara. He will continue to do, as we had studied last week, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmani Gavi Hastini Shuni Cha Shva Pake Cha Pandita Samadarshina. A wise person sees the same. He sees the same in a wise, enlightened master. If he comes to his house, a sadhu, or a cow comes, or a dog, or an elephant, or even a person who is of the lowest quality, a sinner, he sees the oneness in all. He sees the one Lord in everybody. But his treatment, obviously, vyavahar, has to be different. If a master, a realized soul sage, comes to his house, he will wash his feet, respectfully ask him to come in. But a dog comes, he's not going to wash his feet and put him on a chair. He will feed him and then let the dog go. So people will be dealt with according to their level. Like, you know, like we had said last time, a CEO of a company and a new graduate who has just come out will not get the same salary. The CEO has worked in that firm for 20, 30 years and has, you know, done so much. So obviously people have to be treated differently, but the Lord in all is the one, the same. And that is the unity that we have to talk about. So today we'll continue talking about this oneness. And what is the benefit? Why should I see oneness? What am I going to get out of it? So Bhagavan will tell us today in the verse number 19. What is the benefit of one who sees oneness in all, who sees unity in all? Ihaiva tairjita sargah.
Ihaiva tairjita sargah.
Yesham sam yesthitam manah.
Yesham sam yesthitam manah.
Nirdosha hi samam brahma.
Nirdosha hi samam brahma.
Tasmat brahmani te sthitah.
Tasmat brahmani te sthitah.
Together. Ihaiva terjita sargah. Yesham sam ye sthitam manah. Dosham hi samam brahma, tasmat brahmani te sthitah. Okay, so ihaiva, here itself. Why he's saying here itself? Because people have this idea that enlightenment happens in some future world, somewhere after death I will go and then there I... No, Bhagavan says, here itself you can experience the state of enlightenment, as we have seen in example of Pujya Gurudev, Raman Maharishi, Shankaracharya Ji, Narasimha Mehta, all of these, Mirabai, all these great saints, Jesus, they experienced the state of enlightenment here itself, Buddha. They didn't have to leave this body and go. So you and I can also experience. So to say that I will experience enlightenment in the next life is itself a blunder. I am here. I have this knowledge. God is in me. Why do I have to wait for another birth? I have the scriptures. I have everything. So here itself by these people, by them, jita sargaha. Sarga means creation, rebirth. Birth is conquered by these people here itself. Yesham, by whom? Yesham samye sthitam manaha. Manaha, the mind is sthita, established in sama. Sama means in evenness, even-mindedness, unity, oneness. So one who can establish his mind in this oneness or this unity can experience here itself the state of enlightenment and go beyond birth. Why? Because Brahman, the total consciousness, Brahman, the total substratum of the universe, is nirdosha, is without faults. Without faults, without blemish, and that Brahman, that consciousness is even, it is balanced. For that Brahman, there is no difference between good and bad, success and failure. There is nothing for that Brahman, none of that applies to that. It all applies to us, whether we are good or bad, successful or failure, joyful or happy, or in a sorrowful, hot or cold, that applies to us, but not to that substratum. As Gurudev says in his commentary, the floor of the river, the bottom of the river remains the same. The water keeps flowing for hundreds of years, thousands of years, millions of years, like the but the support remains the same. So that remains unaffected. So Brahman is unaffected through all these millions and billions of years, remains the same. And these people who have become one with Brahman, tasmat brahmani te sthitaha, they remain established in that knowledge, in that oneness with Brahman. If you can see oneness in all, then you are one with Brahman. So that is the benefit. A, you see the unity. B, you become established in the truth. You become one with God. And you go beyond birth and death. So that is what we'll talk about. So you mean to say the wise person does not die? Well, the body has to be left. Even when Bhagavan Shri Krishna took a human body, he dropped his human body. Even when Ramchandraji came as the Lord, he took a human body, he had to drop it. Whoever, Jesus, Prahanna Ji Dev, whoever the Lord, whatever way he comes, or the great saints, they have to leave the body. So what do they mean by they overcome birth and death? So creation happens when a body is taken up. So the body has to be dropped. But once I realize in this life itself that I am Om, the Brahman, the consciousness, that is my essential nature. See, we always chant Soham, Soham. You know, that's one of the mantras, that I am. So that consciousness, I means not this perceiver, feeler and thinker. Ego, I am not. I am not God. I am not that oneness. But the Lord in me is the same as the Lord everywhere. So that understanding, so people get this wrong idea that Vedantin thinks I am God. I am not God. As long as I am identified with this body as I am Anil or Sudha or Sneha, then I am still identified with the body. I will continue to function, but inside the wise person knows that I am that Brahman, I am that consciousness. And so that consciousness within me is the same as the consciousness in all of you, is the same as the universal consciousness. There is only one consciousness. There are not multiple consciousnesses. There is one consciousness. The egos are multiple. The perceiver, feeler and thinker, the mind and intellect, the subtle body, the egos are multiple. But the life principle is one. And one who understands that then goes beyond death. Because he has understood, I am Brahman. Chidananda Rupaha Shivoham Shivoham. Shankaracharya Ji says, I am of the nature of Shiva, which is ever blissful, ever all-knowing. So I don't perish. Yes, my body will perish, but I am not the body. Mano buddha hankar chitta ninaham nacha shrotra jivhe nacha ghran netre. I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am not the senses, I am not the vasanas, I am not the joys and sorrows, because I am that consciousness. So for such a person, there is no death. Death is of the body, but not of the individual. And so this unity is the one that creates spontaneous love for all. Because they are all me. They are all one. There is no... But what happens to us, that somebody is very angry with us and uses very harsh words and criticizes us and talks very badly. Now we have two choices. One is that anger, I retaliate with anger. He said something, I'll say something much worse. And what that will do, two angry people, you know, will not, as we had even heard last week, violence cannot solve violence. Violence will create more violence. It's only non-violence. So what is the best solution? I was reading in one commentary. He says if somebody is very angry and says some harsh words, instead of retaliating, just go for a walk. And as I'm walking, chant the mantra in your mind. Whatever your mantra is, whatever God's name is, just chant and keep on breathing. And then 5 minutes into the walk, you will say, you know what? But I have this beautiful answer I can give this person. Let me turn around and go back. No, just keep walking and keep chanting the mantra, keep breathing. And 10 minutes later, yeah, but my anger... Okay, just keep walking. And slowly what will happen is after you have walked for half an hour, you will start seeing the good points in that person. Even though this person was bad. But yeah, there are some good points. And then as you come back, your mind will be so much calmer and peaceful that you won't feel the need to respond to this individual. And when you respond to anger with calmness, the other person's anger also gets diffused. That's one of the best techniques. What we do, either we respond to anger with anger or with alienation. I'm not going to have anything more to do with this person. I'm cut him from his life. I just withdraw. And that also is the wrong. You have to respond to anger with love, with a positive feeling of love. Not that I have to live with this person. And when your mind is that calm, then you are able to create calmness around you. Otherwise, the inner resentment will always be that if I, inside I have forgiven this person genuinely, that's what Christ taught us, to forgive everything then and then alone. So even if somebody has stolen something or somebody has harmed you in some way, you can either carry that. Of course, we're not saying that be a doormat. If you can fix it, fix it. But if it's already happened, instead of carrying that resentment for months and years, and what we say, 20 years ago, you were mean to me in school. Remember? So today, my son is getting married. I won't invite you. 20 years you have carried that, you know, that is our way of responding to anger. It's okay. Oh, ho gaya. That 20 years ago, he was immature. Let me be the better person. So why they say that? Because thoughts create the mind. Whatever thoughts we have, Bhagavan, Swami Chanmananda says, Chitta Vritti Nirodaha, that is yoga. Patanjali says that thoughts create the mind. When thoughts are, when this agitation of the thoughts is ended, when this likes and dislikes, then what happens? The mind becomes quiet. A quiet mind is no mind. When I quieten my mind in meditation, or when I'm doing puja, or when I'm doing service without even thought of doership, then that mind becomes quiet and is no longer a mind. When there is no mind, there is no ego. Ego is what? I and mine. But that all is a function of the mind. When I am established in the truth, there is no I and mine. There is everything is one. And such a person, for him, even the world is no longer existing because he does not see the world. You and I see the world as mine and yours, like and dislike. But the wise person sees oneness. He says everything is Brahman. So for him, the world also loses its hold on such an individual. You and I get so affected with the world because we have likes and dislikes. But once he is beyond, he says the world is nothing but Brahman. And in this world, yes, there are some good, some bad people, some thieves and some saints. Inside, he has no hatred for anybody. Yes, obviously, if he's a judge sitting in a chair of justice and a thief comes, he will obviously say that, yes, this person needs to be punished for his actions. But inside, he has no hatred. And same way, an innocent person comes, he should be freed. So what do they mean by nirdosha Brahma? Brahma has no blemish. So what is a blemish? What is a dosha? See, I'm wearing this white, you know, clothes. But suppose there is a black spot, which there is today as I was cleaning the board. I did get one. So if there is a black spot, that becomes a blemish, right? Anything that is not supposed to be there is a blemish. Or for example, you go to buy a cloth or you buy a shirt and you find a hole in it. You tell the shopkeeper, look, there is a hole in this shirt. I don't want it. Give me a new one. So anything that is not supposed to be there, either a something like a color or a hole or a defect is a blemish. But in Brahman, there is nothing. There is only oneness. There is no blemish because there is nothing except Brahman. That's why when we chant the Guru Stotram, those of you who know that, it starts with Akhanda Mandalakaram Vyaptam Yena Characharam Tat Padam Darshitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. He says, I prostrate to the Guru, to the teacher who has taught me about the Akhanda Brahman, the Brahman which has no parts. No, it's not that Brahman has different parts. In him it is broken, then in her and her and in the chair. No, there is one without break, without blemish. And Tat Padam Darshitam. And the one who has shown me that Brahman which is in Chara and Achara, which is in moving and unmoving. The Brahman is as much in you and me as it is in the chair. It's not that Brahman is more in a human and less in a dog or less in a mosquito. Brahman is unchanged, is one. Its manifestations are based on what they call as the conditionings, vyadhis, the condition, upadhis. The upadhis, the conditioning determines. So in a wise person, Brahman appears differently. In a dog, it appears differently. In a mosquito, in a chair. It is the upadhis, it is the conditionings. Brahman is the same, but there is a difference. Obviously, there's a difference between me and the chair, me and a dog, me and a mosquito. But that is the conditioning. But the Brahman in all of us is one. So that is the understanding. And this world is changing, but Brahman is the same. How do we... There's another way of describing Brahman is it is the common denominator. If you still remember your math, how much is 1/3 plus 1/4? Now, it's very difficult to total up, right? What is 1/3 plus 1/4? It's hard. So what math says, take the common denominator, which is 12. 3 and 4 both go into 12. So when you take 12, then 1 upon 3 becomes 4 upon 12. And 1 upon 4 becomes 3 upon 12. So 4 plus 3, 7 upon 12. So the common denominator is 12. So if once you have understood that, so the common denominator in all of us is that Brahman. It may be the fraction may be different. As I said, 1/3 is more than 1/4. So the fraction is different, but the common denominator is 12. But as long as we are at the body level, if I ask you, well, who are you? You say, I am the body. And I would also say the same thing. Somebody asked Raman Maharishi, is God form or formless? Is God form or formless? It's a simple question. So Raman Maharishi answered, are you form or formless? If you say I am form, then God is also form. I have a small form, God has a big form, you know, this whole universe. Ashtamurti, breath, everything is God. But if I say I am formless, I have no form, but I am occupying this body which has got this name, male or female, you know, young or old, short or tall. But in reality, I am formless. If you say I am formless, then God is formless. If I have a form, if I have a body, then God also has a body. If I have an intellect, then God says, my intellect is much more than yours. So if you say, I am body, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You worship God as form, but understand that God is not limited to that form of Bhagavan Sri Krishna or Ramchandraji or Jesus or Allah. They are all manifestations of that one truth, which is formless. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna, even though has a form, actually he is that formless Brahman. That is what he showed us in the 11th chapter, that in me this entire universe, not only this universe, but all the past, present, future, all the 14 worlds, all the Brahmandas, everything was in that body, which he showed that I am a manifestation of that Brahman. So even though I am functioning in the body, I am Brahman. That understanding should come. And I should function as that. And what do we mean by function as that? We'll talk about in the next verse. How does this person who has established himself or herself as Brahman, how does he work in the world? He still has to work. Whatever his life is, he has to continue to live.